The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.
It all happens here.
So, Alexandra Ryan, the founder of Goss.ie, and Jeremy Dixon, co-host of Opinions Matter podcast, are with us for the week trending. I don't know if either of them will be out clubbing tonight, celebrating the return of the nightclubs. But I want to talk a little bit about the issue of personal safety, which has been brought up, Ali, by something Durham University in the UK has got itself in an enormous amount of trouble because of a warning it gave to students to not allow themselves to have their drinks spiked. Why are they in trouble over this?
I mean, I feel like it's pretty obvious, even just what you said there. It's absolute victim blaming. Hashtag don't get spiked was their slogan. I mean, are we going to have hashtag don't get raped? Hashtag don't get stabbed? It wasn't the right way to do it. I do agree that giving guidelines in general, especially to university students, I do think that is important, but I don't think the onus should be put on the victims and the women who, you know, statistically are more so going to get spiked over men. There should be campaigns focused more on men not doing it in the first place. And I think this is a trend, even with the murder of Sarah Everett in the UK. You know, there was lots of talk like, oh, if a policeman tries to arrest you and you're unsure, flag down a bus. Like, where's the campaign telling people not to kidnap people? You know, like, you never see those sort of ads on TV. So I think of late, a lot of people are up in arms that there's a lot of focus on the victims. But you never see this with other crimes. Like, you never, I don't think you get that sense of shame and blame if you've been stabbed. Like, you never hear someone being like, God, if I just hadn't gone, you know, if I hadn't worn that top that way, I wouldn't have been stabbed in the back, or I wouldn't have been robbed on the street, I wouldn't have been mugged. You don't really get that. But with sexual assaults or something like this, which leads to sexual assaults, it's very important that the messaging is not focused on the victim, because what happens then is people will get spiked and they won't come forward. Is it going to feel like it was their fault and they didn't hashtag don't get spiked? So it's very dangerous language, I think.
Jeremy?
I disagree completely. Sorry, Ali. In that, I think the messaging was correct. The wording was a bit tone deaf, to be honest with you. But I don't think it was, it was no different than an ad that you would normally see for people going away on holidays. You know, don't carry money with you. Or, I mean, you see these ads, especially around this time when house break-ins are on the up because of the dark evenings. Leave a light on, don't leave a window open, stuff like that.
And because there are bad people out there, so try and do what you can to protect yourself.
That's all they were saying. You know, don't, you know... And, you know, I get the point that Ali was making, that, you know, it's nobody's fault if they get spiked. Spiking, the only person that is to blame for spiking is the person that puts the thing in the drink. I mean, I've been DJing in clubs for 20, I don't want to give away my age here now, but over 20 years I've been DJing in clubs, and I've seen it. Not that much now, I have to say. I've probably seen
what?
Drinks being spiked in nightclubs. I saw it on 3 different occasions over 20 years where I literally saw, because I would be in the DJ box, so you can see everything.
So you saw somebody doing it?
I saw, taking something out, and it's terrifying when you actually see it happening.
So what do you do in a circumstance like that?
Well, on the 3 occasions that I did see it happening, and it's so vivid in my mind because I wasn't expecting it. I didn't know. The first time it happened, I didn't know what was happening. And I saw the guy reaching into the breast pocket of his jacket, whatever, taking something out and popping it in the drink. Because obviously girls like to go out on the dance floor, and you can't bring drinks. Yeah. Now, I know, Matt, you haven't been in a dance floor in a long time, but you can't bring drinks onto a dance floor. That is the problem. So the girls leave the drinks on the table and they go down to the dance floor. And this guy was an opportunist. And as soon as she left the drink there, he popped it in the drink, and you could see he put his finger in then and he ran mixed it all around. And I'm like, what is going on here? So, because I didn't know what spiking was at that time, and I called the doorman over and I said, there's something suspicious here. They removed the drink and they removed that guy. But that's...
isn't there a case here that you almost encourage people to sort of not leave their drinks unattended?
Yeah, of course. And I agree with all that. I do think there needs to be guidelines. I just think, if you're going to start a campaign, you have to be so careful how it's worded, because you don't want victims not coming forward because they feel completely to blame. And with sexual assault in particular, victims often don't come forward because they feel it's their fault. So I just think, I get what you're saying, as in, like, you know, even when people are getting married and stuff, or if there's a funeral, they're like, be careful with your addresses because people can rob the house. I get that, but this is something very specific. I think guidelines are important.
Doesn't it still need, though, sort of to persuade young adults, both men and women, that there are bad people out
there.
To
be vigilant.
And to be vigilant. To look after each other, to make sure the drinks aren't left unattended so that somebody can slip something in.
To be honest, everyone knows that basic rule at this point, right? Don't leave your drinks unattended. What's really scary now is there's cases in the UK of people using syringes in nightclubs. So obviously, it's very packed, it's busy, and they're injecting it in. So
is that not something of an
urban myth? No, 100% it's happening. The police in the UK were talking about this yesterday. They're literally investigating it now. So I think the focus should be on like, and I've said this, I literally said this on Twitter, I was like, look after your friends, like, make sure they get home okay, because the problem is now, it's not that, oh, I left my drink when I went for a smoke or for a dance, it could happen in the strangest ways now, so people need to be vigilant about getting home, because that's what happens, they grab them.
I've seen
it
so many
times,
yeah, when I'm leaving the nightclub after my gig, I pack away my equipment or whatever, and you would often see, I get to know these girls because they come to the nightclub all the time, and they'd arrive in groups of five or six, and I'm sure they have this agreement before they go out, listen, whatever happens tonight, if one of you pulls, let's all go home together safe. And then halfway through the night, you see one of the girls going off with a fella and leaving the other girl on her own. And I mean, another issue, which is, it's spiking, but it's in a different way, which I've seen so much as well, DJing in nightclubs, is when guys are buying women drinks for the night and they're buying them doubles or trebles and not telling them. I only witnessed this about just before COVID at my gig. There was a girl standing to the right of the DJ box and a guy came up to her and said, can I buy you a drink? And she said yes, because, you know, why wouldn't you? And I saw him going up to the bar several times within the space of the hour. He was pouring the drink into her. And I went over to the barman and I said, can I ask you a question? That guy who's buying that girl a drink, what's he buying her? And he turned around and says, oh, she's getting triple shots.
God.
And I was like, because I could see as the night was going on that she was getting more drunk than she should have been. And at the end of the night, played the last song, the lights came on, and I saw him leading her out of the club, you know, very subtly now, just took her hand. And I ran over down onto the dance floor where he was walking across, and I said, you're not bringing her anywhere. And
we need you in every nightclub in Ireland, Jeremy, to like stop. Have you seen Promising Young Woman?
No, I haven't.
That movie, have you seen it?
No.
The premise of it is literally this girl pretends to get so legless drunk, and right before the man that ends up taking her home tries to sexually assault her, she snaps out and she lets them know she's actually not drunk.
Brilliant.
It's such a good movie, but it really focused on that the amount of people that take advantage, and obviously this is a genderless crime, it does happen to men as well, but it's just statistically it's more so women. I think now that nightclubs are opening up, I think people are probably going to go a little bit wild.
I get him as a man, I don't know how you feel about this, Matt, as a man, I get embarrassed sometimes by men. Now, men, I don't mean all men, okay, before they start texting
hashtag
in.
Not all men.
But I do get embarrassed as someone who sees this from the outside. You see the nightclub situation in a completely different viewpoint when you're sober. Yeah. So I'm always sober working and everybody else is drunk. So I'm the sober eyes. And to see men's predatory behaviour sometimes, and that guy that night was literally dragging her out by the hand. And I went over and I said, you're not bringing her anywhere. And she then got defensive and said, I want to go home with him. And I said, can I tell you one thing? You're more drunk than you think you are. You don't want to go home with him. You'll regret the situation. And I called the doorman over and got him kicked out of the club first. God. And made sure. But
OK, it's an interesting one here from a listener, Ali. It says, I'm female, I'm 50. I've always bought my own drinks unless I'm in a relationship. Young women need to take responsibility for their drinking.
Uh-oh.
I absolutely hate when people say that. I completely disagree with you. First of all, it doesn't matter if a man buys you a drink. You're not meant to expect he's going to spike it. Like, I have always been...
But why would you take a drink from a strange man that you don't know?
No, I actually never have. But I don't judge anyone that has.
Have you seen the price of drink in the city centre?
I've always actually been very vigilant. Like, before I went to college, my mum would have been like, you know, if, you know, always put your hand over your glass, or like, if you leave it, just leave the drink. It's not worth it. Don't go back to it. So I am like that. But
sorry, if I met you in a bar tonight, the two of us were in a bar and I caught you.
Well, at this age, I'd be more open. If someone was at a bar and I was single and they were like, do you want a drink? I wouldn't be like, I wonder if he spiked it.
Would you automatically think if I wanted to buy you a drink tonight that I had an ulterior motive? Would you say, oh, this fella's a predator, this fella's a creep? Or would you just say, he wants to buy me...
Just to be honest, I'm the worst person to talk about. I'm the most standoffish person ever. I am the typical Irish girl. I'm very annoying.
Oh, you take the drink and then run.
I'm like, don't even look at me. But I remember being in a Vegas club one time, and me and my friend were there, and we were at this like VIP area, and a guy gave her this bottle of Grey Goose vodka, and everyone was drinking out of the bottle, and she went to hand it to me, and I remember being like, what are you doing? So even back then, I've always been like, don't share drinks. But I think it's important what we're talking about here. It's not that we're saying, leave your drink there, and then if you get in trouble, it's not your fault. Like, you have to be careful, but at the same time,
but see, a lot of listeners are texting and saying that's what this campaign was all about, was just telling people to be careful and to be aware of spiking. And because there's a lot of bad people out there.
This is something that you can prevent from happening to you. That is not true.
But you can't say that. No, but you can prevent it if you don't leave your drink down. Like if you stand.
But what if you get injected then? I mean, there's no hope for us. Like it's coming from all angles. I get what they were trying to do, but the wording, and a lot of people said it was tone deaf. I fully agree. I think there should be campaigns in every university about what to do, what to look out for, 100%. But don't say this is something you can prevent, because again, what if it happens to you? An 18, 19 year old girl who sees a poster saying you could have prevented this, do you think she's going to go to the police?
But do you think it's as rampant as people are suggesting? As I said, in my over 20 years DJing, I've seen it 3 times.
I'm only basing this on the UK now, but yeah. I know they are ramping up and there's a serious investigation going on in terms of the syringes. Like that is something that's really
terrifying. Yes.
Okay, lots of comments. A listener says, OMG, how times have changed. When I was in my 20s, we used to drink the abandoned glasses of wine on Leeson Street.
Oh, dear.
Outside legs, I bet.
I'd say inside, probably there would have been. I can think of a few people who might have fallen into that category, actually, as it happens. There's also some very, very good ones here. This one from Rachel, who says, you'd be very gullible to think somebody who buys you a drink isn't after something a lot of the time. I went out one night and a man asked to buy me a drink. When I accepted and asked for an Erdinger alcohol-free, he said he wouldn't buy it.
Oh.
As he said, he thought I was drinking alcohol. He then moved along the bar to someone else.
Oh dear.
And here's another one that says, if you're in a club, you drink it down, you don't leave it down, even with friends. Just never leave the drink down out of your hands. No use blaming the offender. They don't care, even with advertising. You leave the club with friends, meet the guy at a later date. Can't have a poor me attitude if you don't at least take steps to protect yourself. Bad world out there.
That's towards you, Ali. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, is she suggesting you shouldn't even leave your drink beside your mate? So that's a bit paranoid.
I think you need to
get down out of your hands.
I do agree, though. I do think, and we were just talking about that in the break, I do think it's so important that you go home with people you came with, or even if you see them going with someone else, maybe they've scored good for them, but just check in on them, make sure that they are able to speak, that they're not falling all over the place, that they're okay.
Another one says, what you're talking about is nothing new, but young people have more money now and get ossified and don't take responsibility for how wasted they get. My God, I remember when I was a young fella 30 years ago, there was plenty of getting wasted. I've seen them in action. A bit of cop on is needed. There are people at times, though, we've all had friends, haven't we, who've claimed somebody, I got a bad pint or somebody put something in my drink and it was just that they drank too much.
They drank too much.
Yeah.
Okay. On an empty stomach or whatever.
Let's move on to the abuse of politicians. I see the Fianna Fáil Senator Malcolm Byrne is bringing in legislation making it a criminal offence to hold a targeted protest outside someone's private residence. Fair play to him. Ali?
Yeah, I really think, I don't know, has COVID brought out the worst in people? Like, I do think it seems to have got worse, but I feel like every week there's something new going on. Like, Leo Varadkar in particular has been heavily targeted over the last 2 years. I understand that, like, as voters, people have a right to give out and have an opinion, but showing up to their house and intimidating them, like, that's really, really scary.
I mean, there's a place for protests. They can protest outside
the Dáil, you know,
the Dáil or outside ministerial offices.
Yeah.
There's something sinister in going to somebody's house, isn't there?
Very sinister. And remember during the lockdowns at the start, remember there was a huge protest on Grafton Street and like a rocket launcher was sent to a member of the Garda Síochána. It just seems that people's respect for anyone in authority this year has gone out the window. And I get it, some people are sick of the government and how they've been treated over the last 2 years. I understand that, but you don't show up to their house and literally terrify them. Because I'm sorry, I don't know one politician that would be comfortable with seeing people outside their home.
No, it's called the Take It to Their Doors campaign. And I don't know if, I'm sure many of your listeners have seen the videos put up by these people. First of all, it has to be pointed out that this is a fringe element. These people do not represent, you know, they represent a small minority of this country. You know, I have two big problems with them. The first problem is they shouldn't be going to anybody's door. That's wrong. And this is coming from someone who had that threat made against them. I mean, myself and Adrian, we do the podcast together, Adrian Kennedy, we had that threat made against us in a video a couple of weeks ago where they said they were going to march on both our houses. Now, my answer was, bring it on. I have a lovely Kärcher power hose that I got and it's in the garden shed and I will gladly turn it on.
You'd be the one who'd end up getting arrested.
But at least I'll have a clean lawn afterwards. But the second issue is that, first of all, you can't reason with these people because I've seen some of the stuff they come out with. And, you know, there's an old argument that, you know, you whatever chance you have of winning an argument against an intelligent person, you've no chance of winning an argument against a stupid person.
I just remembered on one of the first occasions where this bunch went up to the Thornish's house, The Sunday World reporter Patrick O'Connell, I think it was, went to the house of one of the individuals.
Right, yeah.
And your man then, this is my private property, clear off. Did not like it when the boot was put on the other foot.
That's the same individual that put up the video saying that he wanted to march on our houses. Now, my answer to him was, first of all, I'll parahose you, and second of all, what biscuits do you like so I can have some biscuits in the house for you? Because you can't take them seriously.
The thing that I've noticed a lot, though, and it's definitely been since COVID more so, is that people seem to think they have a right to do whatever they want to people in a public position, which is really strange. And like me personally, like obviously I was working with the Department of Justice recently on legislation, and I'm working with them again. I've had ideas like, God, I'd love to maybe work in politics, but to be honest, they have all been completely eradicated by this sort of behaviour, because I don't think it should be open season on politicians in this personal sort of way. Of course, like, you know, raise your issues, but the fact that people now have crossed this line,
people have an opportunity to vote them out at the election if they don't like
what they do. This is what a democracy is, you know. It's scary that especially here, it's happened everywhere, but here, I don't know, there's a real unease about going into politics.
How much of it comes from the keyboard warriors as well on social media? For example, this week we had the controversial centenary celebrations for Northern Ireland yesterday up in Armagh. If you wanted to call it a celebration, others called it a commemoration. Personally, I would have had no interest in anyone attending it.
Of course.
Jack Chambers and Simon Coveney went because the government felt it was a gesture towards unionist people. Jack Chambers has now been nicknamed Union Jack Chambers on Twitter, from people who probably think they're very clever with that.
Okay, here's the thing about Twitter, and I think I've said this to you before, Matt. Twitter is not real life. It doesn't represent real life. It's a cesspit. People get annoyed about something for 12 hours and then they move on. I mean, the classic example was a couple of weeks ago, the restaurant that was that got in trouble over giving your man the bucket of coins. Remember? So there was outrage, absolute outrage on social media for 24 hours. I checked out their Instagram page for that particular restaurant a couple of weeks ago on a Saturday night, and the place was jammed. So nobody boycotted the place. You know,
the woke brigade, I call them.
Yeah. But they get annoyed about something for a small. And if politicians are going to start tiptoeing around these people because they don't want to upset Twitter, I mean, you know, they move on to something else.
The problem is when some of them starts on Twitter and then it goes offline. That's where it gets scary. But you're right, most of them blow over and there's something new the next day. But seeing, especially just with Leo Varadkar in particular, seems to be something that's never, ever ending.
My mother had an expression that she used to use a long time ago, and this rings true today. And this would explain, I call them the misfits, these people that turn up at the houses. And it's the devil makes work for idle hands. They are idle. They have nothing else to do. And I mean, I put up a tweet yesterday and I got huge flack about it. And I said, because there was a crime journalist outside Leo Varadkar's house, and he was saying there's a group protesting outside his house. And I replied, there's one place you won't see them gathering, and that's at a job interview. And my... I put my hand out to be, well, it's the truth. I put my hand out to be soft. But my point is, they've nothing else going on.
I'm scared there's going to be a group when you leave this building now. This point, Jerry.
You see, I know the back door to this place.
Oh, grand. So I might go with you.
But no, my point is that they have so much free time that, like, if they went out and actually got a job and actually, did something useful, because this is achieving nothing. I mean, marching.
Well, if they bring legislation
here, who says about politicians? They've been paid to do a job. They should be accountable for the lies that come out of their mouths. Well, they are held accountable
in
that the ballot box.
Yes.
When the voters of the country have elections, local elections, national elections, European elections, where they can make their choice based on the record of the person as they've performed or on what they promise they'll do. And if they don't live up to their promises, they can change them next time.
The hypocrisy is here. Some of the people involved in this group, and they don't like to be called far right, so I won't call them far right, but in this group, there's certain people in that group who have ran as independents in local elections and they got no votes because there is no support for them. So they had their opportunity. Anybody can run as an independent in the local elections.
Hopefully legislation does come in, though, because I think if people knew that going to someone's lawn and knocking at their door could land them in jail, I would hope that would, you know, deter
interesting
them.
Interesting one here from a listener who says it's the same problem for public sector staff. Public facing staff are so badly treated by some members of the public for policy that's not within their control. Or if you supply ESB, water or gas, and if it works 364 days a year, on the one day you're out carrying out repairs or maintenance, people verbally abuse you for not having a service for a few hours. Very briefly, we've much time left. What do you make of that? There were protests this week, but they were held outside the Dáil, about the plans to export live pigs from Ireland to China.
Yeah, this one is very strange to me. I don't really, like, I understand that obviously as a country we've done this before. We've sent livestock away. But there's such a focus on the fact that this is to China. I think that's the main problem, yeah. is that we're literally shipping off these poor pigs for animal cruelty.
A 12-hour flight. Now,
12-hour
flight. I've been on 12-hour flights. They're not nice. And I'm being a bit of a hypocrite here. I don't know, Ali, if you're a meat eater yourself, are you?
I do eat meat.
Yes, and
yeah.
you're a meat eater, are you, Matt?
I am.
Yeah. So we're all meat eaters here, so we can't scream from the heights about. But,
yeah.
you know, when I see photographs of animals all packed together in cages like that.
I know, you want it to be as ethical as possible.
Absolutely.
So I think the thought of we're literally shipping them off and being like, good luck, see you later. Whereas here, I suppose, it's much more monitored. We know, hopefully, in some circumstances, how they're actually treated, but we'll have no idea once they're on that plane.
Yeah, that's the truth. I think I'll give up meat today.
I don't stage believe protest. You, Jeremy.
I go back on it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay, listener says, I agree with most of what you say, Matt. Well, a lot of the politicians in power got in on spillover votes, not on the people's first choice.
Oh.
No, that's the system we have.
Oh,
it's proportional representation.
Yes.
It actually is a way better system than first past the post like they have in Britain. That's a way to get a much better representation of what people want or who they want to actually represent them.
But if you ask these people who they want in power, if you were to go up outside the Taunish's house, was it yesterday? It was yesterday, wasn't it? And if you were to actually be able to get even a modicum of intelligence or sense out of them, and you ask them, who do you want in power? They wouldn't be able to tell you. What do you want in power? They wouldn't be able to tell you.
They're just angry.
They're just, yeah. And I get the anger. Everybody's angry at the moment over different things. But
I just don't know how they expect politicians to do a better job if they're literally having sleepless nights because people are outside their house. Like, at the end of the day, if there's problems that you, there's situations that you don't like, you have to make sure they get worked on. I just don't understand this idea of scaring them. Like, I remember before people showed up to Simon Harris's house when he had just had his child. Like, it was so wrong on every level. There wasn't one ounce that made sense. So this is why I'm so pro some sort of legislation coming in around it.
Thank you very much. Alexandra Ryan, founder of Goss.ie, and Jeremy Dixon, co-host of Opinions Matter podcast.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Weekdays from 4:30. Today.